This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Artist John Ruthven has been painting for decades. His work is featured in the Smithsonian, the Lee Yockey Woodson Museum in Wausau, Wisconsin, and the Roger Torrey Peterson Institute of Natural History in Jamestown, New York, and that's to name just a few. Recently, he's been working with students on a downtown mural. John Ruthven, an ArtsWorks Vice President of Development and External Affairs, Teresa Helly, joined me to talk about his art and working with young artists. If you have a question or a comment, call us. Our number is 513-419-7100 or email us talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Happy to have you both here. So, Mr. Ruthven, I'd like to start out talking with you a little bit about how you got started with the wildlife painting and where, you know, where that became for you the place you really wanted to focus.
Well, on this painting or generally?
Well, let's start generally, and then we'll talk about the painting that's just gone.
Well, early on, as long as I can remember, I was always interested in wildlife as a small kid. And I had a penchant for drawing and was encouraged by my family and my teachers. So it was just natural for me to follow that bent. And it was just something that I dreamed of as a little kid and wished that I'd been born 100 years earlier so I could have gone down the river with John James Audubon and Lewis and Clark. But that's the way I grew up.
And so that's always been the area that you've been interested in painting.
Oh, yes, yes.
And how did you get together with ArtWorks? How did this all come about?
Well, it was, I believe, when ArtWorks, didn't ArtWorks start the flying, the pigs, the pig marathon?
We thank you, John. So we did the big pig gig. So maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those were the pigs all over town.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how I got started with the big pig gig. I did three of them. And it was a fun thing to do and a great thing for the city. But at that time, I didn't know the totality of what ArtWorks was eventually going to do, which is astounding.
Well, tell us, this year you've worked on this Martha Pigeon, the mural of Martha the Pigeon, the last carrier pigeon that was at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Passenger,
excuse me, I knew that.
Sorry, everybody does that.
But how did you decide what to draw, how you wanted to draw, what you wanted the painting to be?
Well, growing up in Cincinnati, it was kind of a reflection on a lifelong feeling about that bird. I knew that Martha the last bird died in the zoo when I was a little kid, because I went to the zoo a lot. And then time went on, and it marched on to the starting of the anniversary of the passing of Martha. And I was contacted by the Smithsonian Institute to see if I could come to Washington and meet with the powers that be about a tremendous tribute that they wanted to do to celebrate the life and death of Martha. And so I went to Washington, talked to everybody, and they wanted me to do a very special painting. I didn't even talk about money or anything else. I was so thrilled to do this. But anyway, that's how it got started. I did the drawing, and studying the magnitude of the bird, I wanted to do a large painting. The original was 3 feet by 6 feet, and then on to the final painting of it, and that's how it all started.
And why did you want to make it so large?
Because to show the magnitude of the abundance of billions of pigeons, the largest group of waterfowl birds in the history of the world. And so I felt doing it on a small format would not show the totality of what this must have been to see those flocks.
Teresa, tell us a little bit about what it was like and what the students that were working on this project felt like when they found out they'd be able to work with Mr. Ruthven.
It was quite an honor for our youth. As you may know, we hire about 150 youth every summer to work with ArtWorks. The murals that we create throughout the city of Cincinnati are one part of what we do. And the youth that received employment opportunities to work on this project were so ecstatic to have this opportunity to meet John, to work side by side with him. John, not only did we reproduce his painting of the last passenger pigeon, he actually got up on the scaffolding himself and the youth painted with him. So this was such a tremendous opportunity for them to be with this, you know, world-renowned artist and right here in Cincinnati. And really, you know, you asked about how this project started. We were so excited. We have a commitment at Artworks that all the murals that we do in the downtown Central Business District core, we really want to celebrate our masters of Cincinnati. And we all know that John Ruthven is such a master and celebrated artist. And so it was such an opportunity for us to be able to do a work that not only honors John, but also the Cincinnati Zoo and the commitment that our region has had to conservation. So it was a real opportunity for us to partner not only with the zoo, but the Cincinnati Nature Center and celebrate John, a living master artist here in the Cincinnati community.
Thank you.
I think it's interesting. All of that is interesting, but the key part there is that you were climbing around on scaffolding. And do you mind telling us how old you are?
No. I'm 90. I'll be 90 in November.
So most 90-year-olds are not crawling around on scaffolding.
I know it. People are down there in the sidewalk saying, get that old guy off the scaffold. But what? No, I feel fine, and heights don't bother me. So, but it was kind of traumatizing at time walking along on this 10-inch wide board where you couldn't back up or it's all over to look at your work. But I haven't ever done one 3 stories high like that. And the bird is the largest I've ever painted. Martha was in the picture is 21 feet long.
That's pretty long. We're talking with artist John Ruthven and Artworks Vice President of Development and External Affairs, Teresa Helle. You can join the conversation if you have a question or a comment at 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter if you'd like to post a question there. What was it like working with the young students? I mean, you were a young student many years ago.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I'll tell you, I was so thrilled with this. As soon as the first day I was down there and I saw and met all these young people, they couldn't have been nicer. And I just felt a kinship with them. And I wanted to encourage them. They all wanted to be artists and they all wanted to paint with me. And that was such an honor to have them feeling this sincerity. And so I tried to encourage them and give them words of advice. But I was so happy to see them paint along with me. And then, along with that, they had a wonderful art director named Tim Parsley. He was an astounding art director, and he helped the kids a lot. And so all of us had a wonderful camaraderie, and I can't tell you how much it meant to me, and I was so glad to hear Teresa say it meant so much to them.
Well, first, what's some of the advice you gave them?
Well, I told them perseverance, number one, and because, you know, the old story about starving artists. If you really want to do something, do it and stick with it. You're going to go through thick and thin, but if you've got the talent, and mainly if you've got the ability, you can weather that storm. And the next was, I said, capture the moment, and also don't hide yourself, your light under a bushel. Get out and meet the people. I found so long, many years ago, that people buy the artist as much as they buy his work. So if you sit in the shadows, go out and show yourself and show them what you could do and talk about it. And those are the three things that I felt just helped me when I was a little kid, and all my life, really.
So in all the time that you've been painting, do you go out and meet with the people that want to see your work or buy your work?
I do all the time. In fact, my secretary, Selma, says to me, John, put your hand out. And then she slaps my hand, so you got to say no. And so, but I feel that life's a two-way street. And I want to give back as much as life has given me if I can. And to do this with young people or anybody who wants my work, I feel very honored that they do and do my best to connect with them.
Well, I imagine it's pretty enjoyable just to meet with folks that like what you do as well.
Oh, it's infinitely wonderful. And I have people come back to me and say how much they like my paintings and kids who have inherited the work from their parents. And I've been doing it so long. It's just like when they talk about some of my paintings I did years ago, it's like my long-lost children coming home to me.
Do you remember them all?
Oh, I remember. If you were to ask me what I had done, how many cardinals I painted or something, I don't at this point. But if you show me one of my paintings, I know it. And so they do come back. It's amazing. I see them hither and yon.
You talk about what you've learned, or what the students have learned from you and what you were able to, mm-hmm. the wisdom you were able to impart to them. Did you learn anything from them?
Oh, I did. I learned that it was good for me to see that there was this enthusiasm is still there in this day, this age of electronics, when you can so easily forget about doing basics. That's another thing I told them about, and to see how much they followed my eyes, my advice, and the questions they had. And I think that Artworks has set a precedent here for them, something that they can lean on. And Artworks exposes them to people like me who have been doing this for years and years, and really helps them to dream about the future.
Would you say that's true, Teresa, that you really do try to set those kinds of relationships up?
Absolutely. For us, we are so fortunate that every youth apprentice that we hire has a 4-to-1 ratio with every local artist or mentor that they work under. So we know that not all of our youth will be painting murals in the future, but we want to help equip them with life skills. And what John just said about perseverance and grit and the ability to, you know, stay committed. And it's so important that we really support our local youth and give them opportunities and hope and inspiration. And, you know, in a short time period, this mural was a little bit longer than most of ours. It was about 10 weeks, but that they worked together and they scaled the 6,000 square foot wall, learned from John, learned from the other artists. It's really a special opportunity for the kids in the community.
We've talked a lot about the mural. We haven't said where it is. If somebody wants to see it, where should they go?
Yes, it is on Vine Street between 7th and 8th Street in downtown Cincinnati. So just south of the Cincinnati Public Library.
One of the things I wonder about, and I guess it's maybe because I don't know a whole lot about art, is the idea that how long will these murals last? Are they going to fade over time, or are they painted in such a way that the elements, the rain, the snow, won't affect them?
Well, it's interesting you would ask me that, because a lot of people have done the same thing you just did. And one lady came up when I was finished, and she says, John, I love your mural. She says, well, tell me about that paint. I mean, is it resistant to sunlight? And I said, it's the best, as far as I know, that you could buy today. And she says, well, are you going to come back and touch it up in 20 years? I said, I'll be there.
John's right. The paint we use is called Nova Color, and it is the best paint. And that we use this because we want to make sure that every work we do is a lasting investment in our youth in the community, supporting the local artists, and then also leaving a gift behind in the community. So the murals will last at least 20 years. Some will last longer, but we want to make sure that this commitment in the community is going to be there for years to come.
Do you anticipate working with Artworks again? Are there any plans for that in the future? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, I'm at their beck and call. If something comes up, I know they introduced me to a wall and when I first did this.
How do you shake hands with a wall?
Oh, it's not. Well, it's pretty easy when you see this wonderful work surface. And when they showed me what it was going to be, I felt that is going to be perfect. But interestingly enough, a lot of the artists that I've observed, that have worked with Artworks in the past, have chosen all sizes of walls and done wonderful things with them and in odd places. And the one with the fruit and vegetables on the Kroger building is an outstanding piece of artwork. It's not as that big as the one that I did, but boy, it's just a wonderful thing. And
have you done any wall work before?
Not as such. Let me try and think. I guess when I was a kid going home from school, I would chalk somebody's windows, but that was about it.
Did people save those windows? That's the thing. I wish they had, huh? Instead of washing them.
John, you mentioned to me the mural that inspired you as a youth. Do you want to mention that story?
Which one was that?
In the Paramount Theater.
Oh, yes. When I grew up in Walnut Hills, I was born in 1924, and Walnut Hills was a vibrant little community when I was growing up, and there was an old Orpheum Theater at the corner of Gilbert Avenue and Taft Road. And then they started to build this state-of-the-art, wonderful theater called the Paramount Theater. And it had this long walkway after you paid your money to get in. And along the sides of this walkway, they had a muralist doing all kinds of outdoor wonderful scenes. And I was transfixed by the fact of the trees that he painted. And I went home and got my art stuff out, my pencils and paper, and did a copy of that tree. And as far as I can remember, that was my first inspiration to do a drawing of that. And I did the tree.
So it came from a mural.
It came from a mural. You're right.
What kind of work are you doing now beyond this work with artworks? Are you still painting regularly? Do you paint every day?
Oh, I do. I still have a studio in my place in Georgetown. I have a condo in Marymount, both of which have studios in it. And I have a number of commissions to do right now, which I'm working on. And so it really keeps me busy. And then the different talking engagements I get involved in, and also exhibits of my work. As a matter of fact, we're having a major show in Georgetown on the 17th of May. And so I have two shows every year, along with a major show at the Isley Gallery in Fairfax in the fall. So I just really keep busy.
Of all the work that you've done, what's your favorite piece?
Oh, my.
I know. Is that like asking like a favorite child?
No. You know, I've done just, I can't tell you how many pieces I've done. But the favorite thing, I was so fortunate to have done three paintings for three presidents of the United States and had a chance to be in the White House and present these to the president. And to me, that was an acceptance of my work, which is unparalleled, and I was truly humbled by that and will never forget it. And so I'd say that was my favorite. They were all eagles.
Which president?
Well, I was done for Ford, both Bushes, and that's it, the three of them.
And did they come to you and ask you to do the work?
Yes, I was asked. And then another thing, I was asked by President Nixon to do the pandas, Ling Ling and Ching Ching. And they sent over from China, and Judy and I were all set to go to Washington and meet the president there. And then that was the day before Watergate broke. And so it was all canceled.
No pandas.
Though the pandas up there, they're in the Washington Zoo right now, and I did prints of it, but I didn't get a chance to see the president.
Do you ever do anything that's not wildlife? Do you like to paint anything else?
Oh, this day and age, as I mentioned, when I was discharged from the Navy, I did anything and everything. I may have not mentioned that, but I specialized in cartoons. I did portraits, anything anybody wanted. And but I knew I could draw, so regardless of what they wanted, I would do. And I did one thing that everybody knows. I created the Play-Doh boy for Play-Doh.
I didn't know that. I didn't do my homework well enough. That's great.
So I went from something with no feathers on it to something with lots of feathers. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me. I know you're going to be speaking at the Artworks Breakfast. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes, next week, Wednesday, May 7th, at the Duke Energy Convention Center, we'll have a breakfast that begins at 8 a.m. It's a complimentary breakfast so other people can come and learn about artworks, learn from our youth apprentices. John will also be speaking there, which we're so appreciative of. So go to our website, artworkscincinnati.org, and you can learn more there.
Very good. And you just keep on painting.
Well, I sure will. As long as I can pick up a brush, I'll do it.
Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been talking with John Ruthven and Artworks Vice President of Development and External Affairs, Teresa Helley. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Rick Andrus. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.